Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals, mostly, that talk about today's news and issues from a law enforcement perspective. Let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, we've got Chief Chris Noller all the way from Pueblo Police Department in Colorado. So thanks so much for being on the show. Back on the show, Chief. Also, Captain Brett Bartlett, retired with 32 years of, he gave me a sheet. I have to read from it here. 32 years of exemplary law enforcement experience, and I have another sheet. He's also the founder of the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. We've also got Lieutenant Randy Sutton. I know this one by heart. The founder, Brett Bartlett, the founder of Exemplar Defense Solutions at exemplardefense.com. Randy Sutton is the founder of the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. You got to love that. So thanks, guys, for being on the show. Appreciate it. Hey, shout out to our sponsors. Please support our sponsors, guys. They go the great lengths to bring this good quality content to you. Of course, saying good quality content, that's my interpretation of what you're getting ready to hear. We have Gauls, our title sponsor, Gauls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor. Yes, we're on satellite radio right now. AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Man, they got some great weapons. They are our arms sponsor. We have GunLearn.com, Medicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com, our streaming sponsor. And yes, right now, during the live stream, we're streaming to over a million followers on social media. And we have TwoBells.com. They built our new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. So if you really want to get some cool gear, and we don't charge extra for it, we don't make a dime off of what gets sold in our store. So go to LeoRoundtable.com. Go to the online store that TwoBells built for us. We have shirts, hats, shorts. We have everything. So check it out. Also, we have FisherOrlandoBass.com. Now, Brett knows where I'm going with this one. We have Zach, and Zach has got his own bass fishing charter. He's the captain. And it is in Orlando. So next time you're taking the kids and the wife or the grandkids to Disney, give them the credit card or the cash to go have a great time. Hook up with Zach. Do the bass fishing charter at FisherOrlandoBass.com. Or if you're feeling more adventurous like Randy Sutton, do the Florida alligator hunting where you catch and relocate the wild Florida alligator. There you go. So FisherOrlandoBass.com. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFE.com. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich with FormerLawman.com, mine and Randy's friend. And also, Travis Yates, our very own, at LawOfficer.com. Thanks to all these entities for helping make the show happen. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? We got some great titles. You know, these are perfect for our panelists on today. We've got the feds arrest a guy planning a New Orleans attack, aiming to recreate a Waco. And so, you know, we've been talking about the one over like in California, LA and stuff. Guys, these are related. There's this whole crap going on. Wait till you hear about this story. And then we have San Francisco. Thank God. You know, I just left San Francisco last month, right? I was there a month ago. They have approved reparations for black residents. Just, I got out in the nick of time. Appeals court allows the National Guard deployment in Washington, D.C. to continue. Huge win for the Trump administration. Man shot by LAPD officers after holding his girlfriend hostage. Yeah, we got a long gun involved in that one, I believe. We got a man swinging a chain at people. This is kind of scary, Randy. And he's swinging it at drivers in South L.A. He ends up getting shot and killed by LAPD officers. You know, the cop that's dealing with this dude has got less lethal, and he's telling the other guy with lethal that wants to take the guy out, and he's just missing the cop by inches with this freaking 7.5-foot chain he's swinging. The cop's telling him, no, don't, you know, like, don't shoot yet, not yet, not yet. And it's like, dude, put this guy out of his misery. Then we got a Texas officer indicted for murder after an on-duty crash, killing two children, unfortunately, but they're prosecuting criminally. We got a police officer pinned and dragged by a driver during a traffic stop. We still have cops getting drugged. And then we have a Missouri sheriff accused of ordering deputies to stand down on DWI enforcement. An armed suspect dies when he crashes into a house after shooting at deputies during a high-speed chase. They do a pit maneuver. This dude crashes into a house. I hope we get to cover that one. Illegal, slapped with 20 years in prison after he strangles and chokes out an ICE agent. Man, it's about freaking time. So I'm excited. I can't wait to cover this stuff. We may have to take some of these stories out of order. So if you guys are ready, let's go in and hit the first two main topics that we have, and we'll do these back to back if that's okay. GlobalOrdinanceNews.com. Feds arrest a man planning a New Orleans attack that aims to recreate Waco. And look, we may have some young people on watch the show that don't know what happened in Waco. Guys, look it up, or find an ATF agent that will remind you what happened. But Baton Rouge, Louisiana, plans to carry out an attack in New Orleans were thwarted after an ex-Marine, and Brett, I know that hurts you because you're a Marine, was arrested while on the way to the Louisiana city with guns and body armor in the car, according to court documents obtained on Tuesday by the Associated Press. Now, Micah James Legnan, he's only 28 years old, charged with threats in interstate commerce. Federal authorities said that he had been, or they had been surveilling this guy due to ties he had with extremist anti-capitalist and anti-government groups. Four members of the group were arrested Friday in the Mojave Desert. Now, that's the first flag, because we've been covering a story with L.A. with something similar going on, and they were going to the Mojave Desert to test out explosives, and this is east of L.A. And as they're rehearsing a foiled plot to set up bombs in Southern California on New Year's Eve, according to authorities. So plans of this New Orleans attack, they began to testify after several hundred immigration agents were deployed to southeast Louisiana. And this operation, they called it the Catahoula Crunch. It had a goal of 5,000 arrests of illegals, right? The crackdown is the latest in a series of enforcement operations that are going on in L.A. That's the next flag, an L.A. tie-in, Chicago, Charlotte, North Carolina. So what I'm thinking is that if this crap's going down in like Louisiana and Los Angeles, California, we may be hearing more stuff coming out from Chicago and Charlotte soon. Legnan, the bad guy, believed it was time to recreate a Waco by doing an attack in New Orleans. They pointed to a December 4th chat message that he had, and he wrote under the alias of Kateri the Witch. And this guy's got some other issues. The day after immigration and customs enforcement agents arrived in New Orleans, but he had the alias under the alias, he had like a she, her written beside it, but jail records are referring to him as a male, which raises another flag, Randy, flag number three. Is this guy like trans? Is there something going on with trans or gender identity, you know, crisis or whatever? So investigators believe that this bad guy's chat message referred to the 1993 siege at Waco, Texas, and that compound thing. It was 51 days, and four federal agents died, and we had the religious leader and 76 of his followers, die too. 8 days after the post in the group chat, our bad guy appeared to place a weapon into a car. FBI was doing surveillance on him at the time. And they said that, here's a quote. On my way to New Orleans, he said in a group chat, and he shared a video of him, a gun and a bulletproof vest, which of course is not, no such thing as a bulletproof vest. And he wrote that he was taking, the body armor just in case. After his December 12th arrest, agents found an assault rifle, a pistol. And what is an assault rifle, Brett? There's so many inaccuracies in this report, but they found a long gun, a pistol, a gas canister, and body armor inside the car. Inside his apartment in New Iberia, Louisiana, they found a sniper rifle, manual, SWAT training, all kinds of stuff, a bunch of ammo and stuff. It kind of goes on. It talks about he's associated with, and I'm wrapping this up, it's the Turtle Island Liberation Front. And they're calling for liberation through decolonization, tribal sovereignty. There we got that sovereign word. But they're hooked up with this California case involving the New Year's Eve plot in Southern California that we've been covering and stuff. These are all tied into the same groups. That's why I'm waiting for some more announcements for these other two locations coming up. So commentary, guys. Chief Chris Noller, I see that you're one of the first to unmute the mic. So why don't you start us off?
I just think I forgot to mute it. very, very interesting and very, scary as far as what's going on the domestic terrorism side of the house. I mean, over the last several months, a year, we've had a lot of different incidences like this that are happening. And I think it just heightens everybody's awareness, or should, in law enforcement as to what could be happening, not just in their community, but across the country, because it affects, you got people from California talking about going out to New Orleans and doing this attack. So it's pretty widespread.
Hey, thanks, Lieutenant Randy. I know that you're, well, Randy or Brett, go ahead, guys.
Go ahead, Brett.
All right. Well, I think that the kudos go to the FBI. They've had some pretty good wins. And it shows what happens when the FBI does what the FBI is supposed to do, and that is fight crime and not get involved in politics. So kudos to them. They must have had an informant in there, but it shows that they must have been on this. And of course, they have the resources to take on investigations like this. But this was a feather in their cap, and so kudos to them.
Yeah. I agree, Brett. You got to give them credit where credit's due, and they need FBI. Well, they've been performing pretty good, but another win doesn't hurt them, though. I won't say that they really need another win, but yeah, kudos to them. They're already surveilling this guy when he's doing this crap. Thank God.
And you wonder, you know, as stupid as this guy is, I mean, he was leaking and spewing all over the place, but he would have done it. He wouldn't have gone, and he would have killed people. But what scares me really more is the one that you never hear about, the one that doesn't rise above the mud, the guy that keeps his mouth shut. But he has his stuff and he has his plan and he goes and carries out the plan. Guys like this are why I carry a gun all the time. And I think we talked about this before, and I can't remember who came up with this saying, but I am my family's secret service.
I love it. Perfect timing, Brett. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys. You know, as police officers, we buy stuff, right? And hey, when you throw the online option, it's almost limitless. But I want to remind everybody about when you're looking to buy gear, please support the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion. Not only that, they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. And hey, we're not done. They're going to do you one better. For the loyal listeners of the show, they're going to give you a radio code where you get 15% off your next purchase. And that is good until December the 31st. It is Radio 15. So type in Radio 15 in order to get 15% off your next purchase at Gauls.com. And they have gift cards. We're giving away a couple every week on the show. We're giving away one today. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card, and they will be your new best friends. They also have tactical pants now. They're called Mission Made. I've got a pair. They're absolutely fantastic. Gauls.com. Now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor. And guys, they have it going on too. You know, they're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low optics manner, utilizing their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, is called the Glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And yes, you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conductor energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. So go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip and Brent sent you. Again, that is ComplianTechnologies.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Chris Noller from Pueblo, Colorado. We've got Captain Brett Bartlett from Exumber Defense Solutions in Tampa, and also Lieutenant Randy Sutton, founder of the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org in Las Vegas, Nevada. And so, guys, I know we've been talking about this Marine that got caught trying to go to New Orleans and create havoc. Any more conversation on that before we talk about Randy's thing?
Nobody want to hear Randy's thing.
All right. So Randy. So Randy was just saying. Now look, Brett and I are in Florida. Chief Chris is in Colorado, and Randy's in Las Vegas. So it is true that a lot of the wild stories we cover are from Florida, and that's just something Brett and I have to live with. But Randy is saying that he just got back from Florida, and I personally know that he went to Flagler Beach. But he said that we got some crazies here. He would be correct, but you tell your story and then I'll figure out an excuse. Okay. To represent my peeps. Go ahead.
Okay. So I was down there because, a former police officer who is now a restaurateur wanted to do a fundraiser for the Wounded Blue. It's called Rustic Dough. And he made a bunch of pizzas and he gave them away and people donated to the Wounded Blue. It was really a beautiful event. I signed books. So after the event, he and his wife and I went to a local pub and in Flagler Beach, and I'm sitting there having a beer, and he pointed out a guy sitting at the bar. He says, "This is Florida." And I turned, and this guy must have, I don't know how he did it, but he must have injured his head somehow. And he actually had duct taped all of his injuries, and he was sitting there with duct tape all over his head to keep the injuries do I guess first aid. I don't know what he did, but you could see that he was injured, and instead of like bandages, he put duct tape.
But
It
what
was a
was it about the guy that was like awkward though? What about the guy was like unusual?
That scares me that you asked that.
I was gonna say, I think Randy, we just answered the question about the weirdos in Florida.
I have the picture.
I'm gonna send you the picture. Maybe I can share it. I had to take it.
Look, I had to keep a straight face because I'm representing my Florida peeps, okay? And Brett lives in like Lando Lakes. Now I know I just spilled the beans and now our users know where you live, Brett, but you think it's crazy. Go to Lando Lakes sometime, dude. You're talking about some weird crap and like you looking like you're like in banjo playing territory where everybody looks alike, you know. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mentioned carrying a gun, didn't I?
I've been feeling my name's on the first bullet coming out of Brett's gun. So
you'll never know, Chip. I'll even write a note in my handwriting saying how you were a turd and deserved everything you just got.
I won't even see it coming. I was invited to go to the event. I couldn't make it, but I'm glad that it went. It sounds like it went well, and
really nice. You know, the Wounded Blue is a nationwide charity, and we only live by donations. So the fact that Dave Ur down at Rustic Dough decided to go the extra mile for us and raise us some money, raised several thousand bucks. So
nice,
really nice.
Now I will say that, you know, there is a little university called Flagler College there, and they are a little bit more liberal there in that town, in that Flagler, you know, area. It's near St. Augustine. And which I absolutely love, but when you go there and you go to the shops and stuff and or storefronts or whatever, they have signs on the door saying when they open and when they close. But don't think for a second that means anything because they don't adhere to what that says. So when you show up, they get there when they get there. They open when they and it's usually after when they're supposed to, and they'll close early. It's the craziest freaking thing, you know.
Do you know that St. Augustine has the oldest fudge factory in the United States of America? I went there and got some really great walnut fudge. It's the oldest.
I know. I knew fudge a fudge factory. Packer. I knew
in
a
North
fudge
America.
Packer worked there.
I wasn't talking about that. Oh Lordy,
you couldn't help yourself, could you?
I'm sorry.
Why?
I have a nephew. I know we're going off topic. Hopefully the users. So my family members own a chocolate shop in Dahlonega, Georgia. And my oldest nephew used to tell people that he was a fudge packer at the chocolate shop, and that didn't last long until I. So anyhow, I hope I can say all this stuff. Anyhow, I know we're live.
You're gonna find out.
Yeah, I'll find out. Anything else, guys? Are you guys ready to move on?
Oh yeah, I'm ready to move on.
Ready to go? Okay. All right. So here we go. LawOfficer.com, owned by our very own Travis Yates, who we love. San Francisco approves reparations for Black residents. Now, I'm not going to read. I'm not going to go through this. It looks like it's just point. I mean, they don't. You know, they're stone cold broke. They have no money, and the whole state has no money, much less San Francisco. But they, you know, I don't know how they're going to fund this thing, but San Francisco lawmakers have approved a new ordinance, and they've been talking about it for years, creating reparations fund meant to support and implement elements of the city's sweeping reparations agenda for Black residents, a step supporters framed as progress and critics warn could become symbolic unless real money follows. So the critics are complaining about them doing it. They're just saying that it could be, unless you've got real money to back it up, it's just like pointless, right? So that's what the critics aren't like what you and I would say, like, are you guys freaking nuts? So this is not a trend setting thing where you're going to see happening all over the country and stuff, because the people that have brains aren't going to do stupid stuff like this. The Board of Supervisors gave final approval on Tuesday to legislation that establishes a framework of collecting future dollars, either through city appropriations or private donations. So they are thinking about appropriations. Under the ordinance, the fund can receive any legally available appropriations or donations, and the San Francisco Human Rights Commission is tasked with administering the money. I'm sure there's going to be no fraud there. Spending is restricted to supporting and implementing recommendations described in the city's San Francisco reparations plan of 2023. They even had an African-American reparations advisory committee. So I'm going to end there, and I'm going to go in and start our, it's a perfect time for commercial. I mean, Brett, did you want to throw a 15-minute in opinion on this one, a 15-second one?
No.
All right. So, hey, we cover the news from a law enforcement perspective. Guys, we're up for our second commercial break. Don't forget, we are doing a Gulls gift card giveaway. Type in the word Gulls in your email address on the stream if you want to enter that. Commercial break, we'll be right back. All right, guys, introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about Brett's favorite subject, long guns. Not assault rifles, long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline because they basically have something for everybody. And you know, since 1994, they've been quietly leading the air builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with soulless bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4 E1 Pro and Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market last year at AeroPrecisionUSA.com. The embodiments of duty rifle excellence that's now being tailored for the civilian customer, which means that now you guys can start getting your hands on some of that primo stuff. And their M5 AR three-way platform, spectacular. Don't settle for less when you can have the best. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're also joined by Chief Chris Noller, Lieutenant Randy Sutton, Captain Brett Bartlett. So thanks for being on the show, guys. Appreciate it. And, you know, we've been having a lot of fun today talking about really just about everything. Any commentary on the last topic, guys? I know that we had left off talking about San Francisco paying reparations to Black residents, which make up only 5% of San Francisco today. Captain Bartlett.
Good. That'll do. $1,000 each. Take it out of the police pension fund. That'll go over well.
Yeah. Wow. I never thought about that. All right, Randy liked that one, so you got Randy going. Okay, so guys, if you're ready, let's move on to our next one. I'll just give this just a quick bit of good news. And look, most cops, law enforcement, and I think Randy would have to agree with me since he's the national spokesperson for law enforcement, because he had that, you know, we all know he had that moment with President Donald Trump at the RNC last year. The law enforcement by far, oh, you got a picture. He's got a picture. Look at that. He's got a couple pictures behind him for the video users. But, you know, law enforcement officers, would you not agree, Randy, are by far conservatives? Would you agree with that statement? And your mic's muted, but would you agree with that?
I would say that the majority lean towards conservatism.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. I would have to say that. I think most of that, you know, I'm thinking is because of what we have dealt with on a daily basis and what we've seen. I don't know if you would agree.
Because it's common sense, and most cops have some common sense.
Okay. All right. I get you. So on this one, lawofficer.com, appeals court allows the National Guard deployment in Washington, D.C. to continue. Only thing I point out is that, you know, some of these liberal judges that get spanked when things go to the appellate court or to the U.S. Supreme Court or state Supreme Courts, but it was a unanimous ruling from a 3-judge panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit. And anyhow, the Trump administration won. Now, a temporary win, and they stayed a decision from a U.S. district judge. It was Gia Cobb. She concluded that deployment unlawfully intruded on the district authority and that it should end. So she got spanked publicly by the U.S. District Court of Appeal for D.C. Circuit. She got spanked. And let me tell you, the district courts will only overturn a lower court's judge if they think that you have an appellate court, unless they won't do it unless they think that you're likely to win the argument. So the appellate court's backing up the Trump administration, and we have another public spanking of another lower court judge. It's still a U.S. District Court judge, but it's Gia Cobb, in case anybody wanted to know the name to associate it with. So if there's no comment, or do you have commentary on that, Brett?
Yeah, I've always wondered what they're doing up under those black robes.
This is just one of those shows today. I can tell. All right, guys, look, we got a video from LAPD. Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. Man shot by LAPD officers after he holds his girlfriend hostage.
Drop the gun! Drop the gun! Drop the gun! Hold on.
Drop the fucking gun!
I don't have a shot.
Jordan, listen to me. We're getting you some help, man. Let her go.
Code robber on this side. Got someone on that side over there?
Yeah.
Hey, he's locking up.
Hey, he's coming up with... Come here. Come on. Hey, he's running back in the house.
Get the fucking gun.
He's still moving. He's moving towards victim.
This is one of the, and it doesn't happen every day, but how you perform does matter. We're in Northridge, California, the less lethal capital of the world next to Washington State. The initial incident starts at 2:00 in the morning on a Sunday when officers respond after a call reports hearing a fight between a man and a woman, and she's crying, according to the LAPD. When officers get there, it's at a home. They find this man, later identified as Lewis Jordan Cortez. He's holding a woman who later turned out to be his girlfriend. He's holding her hostage at gunpoint. This is not a lot of good stuff about this. After Cortez fails to surrender and refuses to drop his weapon, officers open fire, according to LAPD. It doesn't exactly happen like this. I'll go to my notes in a second. It says during the incident, Cortez, our bad guy, fired one round from his handgun at the victim. And even after being shot by police, he did not immediately surrender, and he remained in the front yard of the home. I will say that, at least to me, it didn't appear that he shot at the girlfriend until they got shot by police. One of the officers negotiated a surrender. Cortez was taken into custody and went to the hospital for the gunshot wound. He's going to go to jail when they clear him. They recovered the gun. And it says no officer or neighbor was hurt during the incident. However, they did not give the condition of the girlfriend. And it said that he shot at her. It was close range, guys. I don't know how he would have missed her. So I'm assuming she was shot. They're just not releasing her condition.
She was not shot.
Was not shot. Oh, okay. I don't know how that happened. I mean, I know it was dark, but so if you start watching the it starts off with body cam number one at 4:44, so 4:44. Officers are confronting this guy. It's a very narrow time frame. It's short. He's holding his girlfriend hostage at gunpoint in front of a residence. And there's a lot of cops giving commands, including one on a PA system. But I mean, they're like all over the place. So that's at 4:44. At 6:05, there's a single gunshot fired by police. And you can see an officer with a rifle to the left of the guy with the body cam. And this dude definitely is the one that took the shot. So thank God they've got their guys outfitted with rifles. At least we have one cop with a rifle, single shot, hits the bad guy. As the bad guy's going down, to me, he clearly points his gun to the female, fires the round. And maybe that was it. He'd already been hit. Maybe he missed her, but he took a shot at her. So he goes down. And then unbelievably, let me back up here. It looks like he fires at the hostage. He goes down. He gets back up and he starts running away from the hostage, running away from the house with the gun in his hand. And then there's another single shot fired by the same rifle. And unbelievably, it sounds like another officer, to me, like he was probably a supervisor. He's telling his fellow officers, hold it. It meaning don't fire, as the suspect is now turning around and running back towards the victim who he's already shot at with a gun in his hand. I'll let you guys talk about that. And so at that point, there's no other shots fired. No one shoots the bad guy. Now we go to the body cam number two. It shows police shooting at the same shots that we've already talked about from a different body cam at 6:46 and 6:50, but it does a slow motion with zoom at 7:01, and our bad guy subsequently arrested, and he survives, and he got hit with a rifle, it looked like twice, and no mention of the hostage except for Randy, what Randy just told us. So commentary on this, guys. I'd love to hear what you guys have to say about it. Randy, you want to start us off?
Yeah. A lot of cooks in this kitchen. And, it gets confusing when you have different people giving different orders. And that guy who I take it that he was a supervisor as well, yelling for his police officers to hold fire. And I can't figure out why. That guy was a threat, if there was ever a threat. And they had every justification to continue to continue firing until he was no longer a threat. I thought that that was a very weird order. But at the end of the day, you know, they took him into custody, and you know, no cops got hurt. So that's only, well, luck, really. If you really think about it, because he was a major threat and he was armed.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, Captain.
I think the supervisor should have told, because I heard an officer talking on the PA, maybe it was from the car. He should have said, you know, something like, okay, Bill, you got it. You talk to the guy. You talk to all the rest of us. We're going to shoot the guy. We you know, don't give commands. The bad guy is not listening to commands. Would you guys agree? He's not listening. He's not saying, well, okay, I give up. So it's time to stop talking. But at the same time, if the guy's already got the mic in his hand and he's talking, go ahead. Let him talk to the bad guy and distract the bad guy. But it's time for the other folks to be ready to fire the shot. And don't wait on permission to fire the shot. If you see a deadly force encounter going on, which they do, if you can, fire the shot. But it seems like when there's more people all together, there is a hesitancy for somebody to take over.
Yeah, I agree. And I think also it sometimes I think supervisors feel like they have to do something when they really don't. I mean, what we need to do is rely on the training that we give our officers and allow them to make decisions. I mean, you know, if you've got 50 officers shooting 100 rounds, that might be the time to try to get control over what's going on. And I exaggerate to make a point, but I think you train them. They know what a threat is. If you've trained them right, they know how to use the weapons that you've given them, whether that's less lethal or lethal. Trust them to make the right decisions. And they may be seeing something that you're not. So you telling people not to shoot, you may be giving them the wrong command based on where they're sitting. You know, and you just have to trust your people, do good training, and make sure as a you know, I don't know, we call them crews here, but whether it's your squad, your crew, your people, have conversations about things prior to them happening and do some training together.
You know, you're right, Chief. If one guy sees something different, he should take the shot, okay? No matter what anybody else is saying or doing. On the other end of it, for somebody to yell fire, we should all go, oh, no, because I don't know what's going on there.
Right.
You know, and then everybody else is stuck in the middle of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, there are, and I'm sorry, I mean, I didn't mean to jump in or, you know, when you're getting ready to go, Randy, there are instances where if I'm in a struggle and a fight with a bad guy and I just can't see something and another cop tells me he's got my gun or he's got this or that, at that point, I don't think Brett would argue with me. I can do the headshot or whatever I need to off a cop's word. And even though the threat exists, but, and we're going to a commercial break. We'll pick us up in just one second. Here we go. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at gunlearn.com. You know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us into trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But gunlearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by learning just 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office. Now, you can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett here and also attorney Ken Affianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, Dan O'Kelly, has got a deal for you. If you have your own agency, you can host a seminar for absolutely no cost. Amazing opportunity. Go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Again, that is gunlearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Chris Noller from Pueblo, Colorado, and also Captain Brett Bartlett from Land O'Lakes, Florida, also from Exumber Defense Solutions. Hey, guys, I'm having a lot of fun on today's show. Randy Sutton had to go. He's got a live newscast that he's going to be doing at the top of the hour in about, you know, 11 minutes. So he had to bolt, but we still have Chief Chris and Captain Brett here.
And he's going to be on One American News if anybody wants to take a peek at it. One American News.
Good point. You know, O-A-N. we were just talking about a hostage situation, and you know, we've got our cops. We had one cop with a long gun. I love to see cops with long guns. And in a hostage situation, I don't know that I'd want to do that without having a long gun. I would love to hear the cops, assuming it's a supervisor's justification for telling the cops not to shoot the bad guy when he's running back to the hostage with a gun in his hand. Because, you know, in a hostage situations, it's even if you have a long gun, it's not necessarily an easy situation. Brett and I know someone on a TAC team that had a similar situation in the vehicle, and the hostage ended up getting shot. You know, things can just happen. But when you have a bad guy that actually leaves the hostage and he's going back and he's still armed, gosh, you know,
I'm not sure that what he said was telling them don't shoot. It might have been some other order. I mean,
it could have been. But I sometimes get concerned as a chief. You know, we do a lot of work trying to get guys to de-escalate and do all these other things. You know, throughout the training, we get a lot of pressure as agencies and in our profession you know, try to minimize the force that we use. And sometimes I think as supervisors, wow, hold on. I got one more. This one's not as cool, but here it is.
for the people that are audio listeners on radio and podcast, we got a little knife show off here going on between the chief and the captain. They're like, I got more switchblades out the front, out the sides going on in front of me than I've ever seen. So, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I wonder sometimes if supervisors make some decisions trying to minimize force and do all these other things when they're not necessarily the right decision at the time, if that makes sense.
It makes sense. It is true. So Chief, and I can't remember, my memory's failing, but do you have a knife that we sent you that you want to show off on the show?
I do. It is a Microtech, very, very well constructed knife. I don't do the automatics. I do have one around here. I'm just want to keep turning around.
Well, we want to
have one here somewhere.
We want to stick with Microtech. We want to stick with Microtech. Then, if we sent you the Microtech, and that is you've got a clip on the side. Now the Microtech knives are super smooth. And Brett, you got a Microtech, right?
The thin blue line right there. It's kind of cool.
Oh, you got the one with the thin blue line. Yeah. Nice. So it's a manual, but how is it? Is the movement pretty cool?
It's awesome. Oh yeah, it's really nice.
Any play in the blade at all when you open it up and you?
No, it's well constructed blade. I was really impressed. You know, you know with free stuff, you never know what you're going to get, but this is a well constructed, solid blade. When it's locked, it's locked. And it's an incredible. It's got a really sharp blade on it, so be careful.
Can you demonstrate that for us, Chief?
Yeah, let me just hold on a second.
Remember to cut down, not across.
Now, Brett, you're a fan of Microtech too. Brett, you've got a Microtech, I believe.
Yeah, and here's the thing, and I don't know why every time I do this, I start singing a song from West Side Story. I don't know why. It's just something. I love a girl named Maria or something. I'm not sure.
So Brett has an out the front Microtech, and it is. Do you have a glass break on that, Brett?
Just in case.
It's got a glass break on the bottom of the handle. So
just
I love
in case
it.
Me and the other crew are rumbling and I need to crack the glass. Yeah, right. I can do that.
So gentlemen, so the captain and chief, are you guys both fans of officers, you know, at least, you know, on duty carrying backup, I mean, carrying knives?
Sure, man. You might have to.
Yeah, I mean, I'd prefer it not be a machete, just for appearance's sake. But yeah, absolutely. I think it's important to carry a knife for a variety of reasons. I mean, cutting seatbelts.
Yeah,
cutting seatbelts. God forbid it gets to the point where you've got to use it as a deadly weapon or a self defense weapon. I mean, I think it's important to have. You know, I can't tell you in my career the number of times that I used a knife as a tool, not as a weapon, throughout my shift. So, yeah, absolutely. I think cops should carry a knife. My grandpa, who was never a police officer, always thought that And this is kind of sound bad, I guess, in today's age, but that men should carry a knife everywhere they went. You know, I mean, he always had one of those little old timers that he fit in his pocket and never went anywhere without some sort of a knife.
I think just in case there's cheesecake, you need to have this.
Yes.
I carry a Microtech out the side everywhere I go, you know, and Microtech is your high end knife, guys. So if you're watching, you're in uniform, you're a firefighter or law enforcement, active or retired, or just a civilian or someone that or military, I'm telling you, Microtech, they are the high end, and the grade of steel that you're getting, it's on the high end. If you want to carry the cream of the crop, you know, the best that's out there, and you care, and look, there's a lot that goes along with that. You don't have to worry about malfunctions and quality and buildmanship and all that stuff. So I'm telling you, that is a great endorsement, guys. So
yeah, this is part of my EDC.
Love it. I absolutely love it. All right, guys. So look, we got time, I think, for one more. This is the guy with the chain. So Rumble.com, this is Butter. Man swinging chain at people and drivers in South LA shot and killed by LAPD. LAPD officers.
Additional verbal commands to turn around. He picked the metal wires up once more, prompting an officer to deploy a foam projectile round from his 40-millimeter less lethal launcher. The foam projectile round struck Polanco in the upper torso area and caused him to drop the metal wires. Polanco momentarily began to follow the officer's commands, but as the officers approached him, he suddenly turned around, picked up the metal wires once more, and charged at the officers. As he charged the officers, he swung the metal wire cluster over his shoulder in a whipping motion. While repositioning, one officer fired additional foam projectile rounds at Polanco, which were ineffective, and an officer-involved shooting occurred.
Hey, drop that, dude. We'll hit you with that thing. You're going to drop it. Hey, don't come
to the center, dude. All right. Face the car. Face the car. Turn around.
Well, you don't know who you are.
Police officers. Turn around. Face the car.
That's not right.
Chain around. Face the car.
I'm not chaining around.
Hey, dude. Drop that shit.
Okay.
Turn around and face the car.
Okay. Drop that shit, dude. Okay. Get up on the car.
Put your hands on the car and don't move from there.
I'm not gonna push it.
Hey, I'll fucking shoot you, dude.
No.
Hey, I'm gonna shoot him, dude.
On the car and don't move from there.
Hey, dude. Hey, I'll fucking shoot you, dude.
I'm gonna shoot him, dude. Hey, I'm gonna shoot him, dude. I'm gonna shoot him. I got it.
We don't have a lot of time, but this is Los Angeles police shot and killed this guy, Hugo Polanco. He was swinging a metal chain at people and drivers in South LA. Officers responded to an assault with a deadly weapon call. Multiple callers, and this is a metal chain. It is like 7.5 feet long, guys, and he's swinging it at pedestrians and passing cars. When the officers get there, they encounter this guy, give him the commands to surrender. He ignores them. They use a 40 millimeter less lethal rounds in an attempt to get him in the custody. And this is when he's going for the chain and picking it up and stuff. And he continues to advance on them. And then the man was rushed to the hospital after being shot. He was pronounced dead. No officers or bystanders were injured. But in my show notes, I have down that the suspect picked it back up after swinging at the officer, advancing on him. Another officer fired a 40 millimeter round. And then we've got, you know, an officer that's yelling him to basically tell the other officer to not fire as this guy's approaching him, and they're going less lethal. And then finally, the other officer doesn't wait to be told to fire. He does what Brett said, and he takes the guy out. Commentary on that. That made me a little, I mean, the guy that was closest to the bad guy, that was, the chain was just missing by inches. You know, I don't know. I mean, I guess you can tell he was confident. And it worked out, but I was nervous. Captain Bartlett.
I was getting a little bit nervous watching the guy. I'm thinking, how complacent can these two officers be? This guy's got this. And then he picks it up. Once he picked it up that second time, it's all over. The first part of the video where the officer is with the
40 millimeter.
I'm going, buddy, you need to back it up and get behind cover or something. And also is going, I'm going to shoot him. Well, buddy, stop talking about it.
Yeah, I agree. I think when I was watching it, I thought the first time the partner said he was going to shoot him, because the video, remember the video, there was a couple videos from inside of a gate. Like, so maybe there was a backdrop issue and that's why he didn't fire at that point. But I also think that there may have been I think that guy may have been a recruit, because if you watch the video through to where they're handcuffing the guy, he's having to tell the kid that's handcuffing him, you know, don't be afraid, roll him over, get him in the, you know. And so I wonder if it was a recruit or a newer officer. But I agree. I mean, I think the less lethal stuff went on a way too long. I would have dropped that less lethal gun and went to my sidearm and shot the guy myself, I think, if I was that guy. But, you know, again, I think it's a lot of fear of using the appropriate levels of force that is happening. And this idea that these less lethal rounds, as you can clearly see, he's using exact impact rounds, which are very good rounds. But when a person's loaded up on drugs or something like that, or mentally ill, they don't feel that impact the same way that a normal person does. And it just isn't as effective.
Totally agree. Well, look, guys, we're out of time. So Chief Chris Noller and Captain Brett Bartlett, thank you guys so much for being on the show. Appreciate it. I usually take this opportunity to talk about the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3, helping cops out in a world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. Also want to mention our sponsors, guys. Please support them. Gauls.com, our title sponsor. ComplianTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, GunLearn.com, Medicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com, TubeBells.com, FishOrlandoBass.com. We'll announce the winner for the Gulls gift card in just a second. Have a wonderful rest of your day. We'll see you back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.